It says, do not be anxious about anything. Why do people get anxious? Why do people worry? Why do I worry sometimes? God has not told us everything that is going to happen to us, or things that are going to happen tomorrow, but he has promised to be with us. Amen. Tomorrow and never to leave us. Amen. He said, I know the plans I have for you. They're good plans.
Yes.
They're not plans of evil. They're good plans. But you see, as we walk in God, we take a step, and these are steps of faith, and every step becomes a miracle. When we decide to walk by faith, every step becomes a miracle. We go by what God says. But if I worry, why am I preaching about worrying here? No. Let me just preach. Maybe, you know, one thing I tell people at home, maybe I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Yeah, you know, and that way I feel free preaching and preaching to myself. Because really, before the word works for anybody, it must work for the preacher.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
so right. Really I'm preaching about me. And so if it doesn't get somewhere, you know, it is just going to, you know, God's going to bless me, you know, bless me, but I don't want to be blessed too. Yeah, so why do I worry sometimes? Why do I get worried sometimes? So something happened, you know, like it happens sometimes, you know, we don't have food. Sometimes we don't have enough clothing. Sometimes it's because we don't have money in our pockets. Sometimes things backfired, didn't work out the way we thought they would work out. And we begin to get concerned and we want to fix it. We want to do something about it. And sometimes we might try to do it by our own strength. Yeah. Because we want to fix it now.
Yeah.
And then when you want to do it by your own strength, it doesn't work at that time. Then you get frustrated. And the Lord tells us to rest in the Lord.
Yeah.
I like the scripture you quoted today. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. It says, come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
And he says, put on my burden and my yoke, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy.
Yes.
He says, learn from me and you shall have rest in your souls.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And so when we lean on him and we learn to walk with him, and we learn to walk, I mean, to carry his burden, and we learn to walk the way he would want us to walk, then everything becomes easy because all our burdens are given unto him. That's what he says. Fro, that's what our Swahili Bible means when it says, give your burdens to the Lord. It's like a burden bearer, like a donkey. And you're putting your luggage on a donkey so that you don't have to carry the luggage, so that the donkey can carry the burden. So he says, you throw it over unto me and I'll carry it for you. So he says, give him your burdens. And so when he carries our burdens, we become lighter. Now, it doesn't mean that when we become lighter, we don't see problems around. We see problems, we see challenges, we see things that are not, you know, the way, but he gives us the peace and the grace and the divine enablement to go through victoriously.
Amen.
And come out victoriously.
Amen.
And so he says, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Anxiety, anxiety can be a sin. Disciples were troubled before he left. In John chapter 14, they were so troubled. He kept on telling them, I'm leaving. I'm going. And the way I'm going. And then he tells them, Okay, don't be troubled in your heart. Do not be troubled in your heart, in your hearts, because in my Father's house there are many mansions. The Israelites were troubled. They were promised a promised land. And they were told, okay, you are leaving. But they didn't know what they were going to meet on the road. You leave for the promised land. And what do you see? The first thing you meet, the Red Sea. And then they camp. They're not going to cross it. They're camping. And they're behind Pharaoh and his chariots. In front of them, the Red Sea. And they began to cry to the Lord. Moses, the Lord told him, why are you crying to me? Don't cry. Just move forward.
Amen.
So the Lord first told him to move forward. And where was the forward? Into the sea. Yeah, this water. He says, you move forward into the water. And he stretched forth his hand, and God parts the sea for them to walk on a dry land.
Amen.
God made a way where there was no way.
Yes.
And they walked through the dry land, and they crossed to the other side. And they saw God swallow the enemy within water. And a miracle took place. And Miriam took the tambourine and sang to the Lord and praised the Lord. And all Israel praised the Lord. But that was not all. The wilderness was waiting for them. So they get into the wilderness and say, wow, in this place, the first thing, the water is bitter. The water is not sweet like the other side. The water is bitter, but they want to drink. And the Lord says, God tells Moses, take some leaves, put in the water, and the water will be healed. For I am the Lord that heals you. And then a miracle takes place. The water, bitter water, becomes sweet. In the wilderness, there are so many challenges, but they are promised a land that flows with milk and honey. So they have to remain focused to go to this place that they have been promised. But what happened? There were so many things to see around. Mountains, valleys, dry land. Where we come from, Bungoma is more tropical. In the northern Kenya is semi-desert. But before I ever came to any of the deserts in the world, like the world of Las Vegas and the other places in Nevada, I never used to understand what a desert was. But when I landed some time in Egypt, then my human part sympathized with the Israelites and said they had a right to complain. Because the desert was just very not, actually not very good. And like they had a right to complain. But in God's eyes, they didn't have any right to complain. No complaining. He says, no complaining, only rejoice, give thanks, and pray. And just thank God in every situation. The Lord is with you. He will get you out victoriously. He will help you. He is your help. Your present help in the time of need. Woohoo!
Thank you.
And so, he says, but in everything, in prayer. So, can worry be sin? Yes. Why is it sin? Because anything that is not done in faith. When I worry sometimes and I don't put God number one in my life, I actually promote the problem to be bigger than my God. Because what the enemy will want to do is to make me see a problem bigger than my God. To see what I'm going through to be greater than if it doesn't have a solution. Everything has a solution. God has a way for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So worry can be seen, and worry displays lack of faith and God's inability to meet with our needs. And it's like worry, if I get deep into worry, it's like I'm calling God a liar, and I'm not calling him to be the healer, the provider, the El Shaddai, the one who is more than enough, so I can control the way not to worry. I can decide not to worry when the opportunities to worry is presented to me. So, why should I not worry then? As a Christian, why should I not be anxious? As a Christian, you know, my other part of human says it's okay to worry, but God says no, it's not okay to worry. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Trust. Trust in my ability to help you out of the situation. Amen. Glory to God. I'm saying this because, you know, a few years ago, Mama Doris went to be with the Lord last year, toward December. And Mama Doris, the missionary the Lord sent to Bungoma, and through her, we came to serve the Lord, and through her, what we are doing was founded and has grown, and many people, many lives have been touched, and through Mama Doris. So she went to be with the Lord, and things now never remain the same. And, you know, everyone occupies spiritual space. And so it was just then something happened to that our children passed the exam, and every child needed like $1,200 for all of them to go to high school, each one of them, four of them. And here we are, we're supposed to put food on the table, and we are supposed to take these children to school, and we are supposed to run everything going. And there's no money. And there's no money. No money whatsoever. So, what does the pastor do? At first before, begins to worry. What are we going to do? What shall we do? What shall we do? And, you know, I've come to learn the other way. The Lord was ministering to me that I should not prove anything. You know, when I used to be younger, I'm growing in the Lord and also growing in the Word and the grace of God. I used to prove a lot, try to prove I can preach well. I am the pastor, you know. Prove that I'm the pastor and prove just the works of the flesh. As I've continued to grow in the Lord, I'm learning that there's nothing to prove to anybody. I'm just a vessel to be used of God. Yes. And people ask me, you know, I had, you know, you can have sometimes people criticize and say, oh yeah, you didn't preach the way you usually preach. Or that message should have come out this way. And if you have so many young people, our church is just full of 60%, maybe 70% young. Everybody just young. And so we have a way of saying it to bring the fire, you know. And I said, I will do according to the grace that is given to me, and you will do according to the grace given to you, and she will do according to grace given to her. And all of us complement one another. You might be eloquent, I may not be eloquent, but we are all called.
That's right.
So when your ministry, the time of your ministry comes up, you are a blessing. Whatever it is you are doing, you know, you can be other service to the Lord, not preaching, but it's a service to the Lord.
Yes.
That is where the Lord has given you the grace, and that is what God is going to ask. Because what I found out, just like that song we sang, we were talking with Margaret when we were coming, and we were talking about how to grow big churches. And one of the ways to grow a big church, I'm a pastor, you know, is to compromise. Don't preach so much and don't tell the truth. You just preach easy. If someone needs help or to be corrected, don't correct them. But the Bible tells us to correct them in love. And so be easier on everybody, which is okay. And so it's easier to sell what God has given to you. So why did I come on to that to talk about that? I came to that because sometimes as preachers we want to prove something. Don't prove anything. So in this case, I wanted to prove, you know, people are looking to you and... you are the pastor. Solve the problem. We don't have money. Electricity is going to be disconnected. Actually, they came and disconnected the electricity. And the compound is big. You have almost 50 students. You have people living on the compound, and there's no electricity. And there's no money. And the children need to go to school, high school. And that is a lot of money. And so I decided, I said, we should not worry. Instead, we should pray.
Amen.
Because God is in control.
Yeah.
When you stop worrying, God begins to work.
Yep, yep.
When you worry, it's like you are putting a, you know, you are blocking God, or you are stopping, or you are delaying God from working on your behalf. So we decided to pray and wait upon the Lord. Guess what happened? Some people that we don't know decided, told us, if you do shopping for your children, we will pay for their school fees this year. And so we raised money to do shopping for their schooling, and the school fees was paid for.
Praise God.
By the people we have never met. So God gave us favor, and these people in Kenya, not in America, in Kenya, we don't know, I still don't know, you know, we just know the money was put in the bank for the school, I mean, paid in school. They didn't give us the money to pay, but the money was paid for, and they just give us the slip from the bank that the school fees has been deposited in the school's account. What a blessing. But over here, I was worrying so much. Worrying and so concerned, because now you have, then what do you do, you know? If you have all this going on, and that's going on, and this going on, and this going on, and this going on, what do you do, you know? So if you want to try to fix everything, you'll break down. If you try to do things to work your way, you will, you know, when a block motivation, a motivation is blocked, what you get a frustration. And why do we sometimes preachers want to resign? It's because we have hit the wall. I said I was going to go through there, then I was locked down. I didn't go the way I wanted. I had announced it. I told everybody this is going to happen, and didn't happen. And then what happens? I get frustrated, and then I just want to quit. I think that's what happened with Elijah. When he told God, now just take my life away. Now it's all over with me. I've served you. I've served you. And this lady, woman, is after my life. And I know all the prophets are killed. I'm the only one left. And they're after my life. And the Lord told him, no. I still have 7,000. So you have no cause to die now. I think I told you that last year when I was here. I told you what the Lord really told me about when I was struggling so much. He told me, don't die for the church which I've already died for. Yeah, and so I decided, leave it to God. Leave everything to God and let God work on your behalf. Amen. Just learn to rest in Him. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, so what about this proof? That last part in verse 7 says this, and the peace of God that passes all knowledge will keep your hearts, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Now this peace is different from the peace we know of. It's the peace of God. It will keep, it will guard, protect your heart in Christ Jesus. It will keep you. And that's the promise that we have. Amen. It passes all understanding and passes all knowledge. This being calm despite of the situations and circumstances that are going on around. And letting God take over and to be in control. Yes. And He says, and the Lord will preserve you. Amen. So our keeper does not sleep. Our keeper is awake and is faithful. And takes care of us. Yes. He knows our tomorrow. He knows our coming in. And He knows our going out. Yes. Every promise that He gave to us will be fulfilled. Yes. Thank God that we are part of it. Part of His plan. And part of His redemption. Part of taking the gospel to the whole world. Part of reaching this area for Christ. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for your promises. That yes and amen to the glory of your name. Lord, you say that we let our request be made known to you. And Lord, this morning we come with thanksgiving, with open hearts to you. And Lord, we choose to rest in you. We choose to trust you. We choose to believe. Hallelujah. We love you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for healings, and we thank you for restoration this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you have in store for us. We thank you for all the blessings that you have released through your word. Lord, I thank you that your people, Lord, here are part and partakers of what you have in store for us. We give you praise. Just before we close, and I would just like to pray. We can pray for one another. We can pray together for anything that you may be having some challenges and you came to church and believe in God for divine intervention. We just want to believe God and pray for God's touch in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like Pastor to come. Pastor, can you come to... We can come and finish up. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I find it amazing that he shared what he shared this morning. Nobody else is surprised? Didn't we just talk about this last week? You know, the one thing it is that's very true is that God is faithful and He's always there. Pastor Justice said, you know, he quoted the scripture that says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He knows what things you have need of before you even ask, and He's your provider. Amen. You know, I was meditating on what to bring this morning because I had forgotten that Pastor Justice was coming. So I got a blessing and a surprise too, in more ways than one. But I remembered the old song that says, He's real. He's real. He is so real to me. So many people doubt Him, but I can't live without Him. He's real. He's so real to me. I love the Lord. And even though sometimes we get feelings like Pastor Justice was talking about, there's a pastor who knows he's going through it too, you know. We need your prayers. But the one thing we know is that God proves Himself and shows Himself strong in our behalf. Amen? Hallelujah. And what a blessing this morning to have him. We need to continue to pray for him. You know, I'm not gonna go into what I had for you, even though we still have some time. But you know, this morning, or what I believe God was sharing with me. How many people ever saw the movie or read the book, Heaven is for Real? That's not talking about believers. That's talking about people. You know, that book is about people who. They're going through the motions of being a Christian. What do I mean by that? How many people know the story about behind Heaven is for Real? About the little 4-year-old that God took to heaven while he was on the operating table for a burst appendix. And in that time, he went, he saw angels, he walked in heaven, he sat on Jesus' lap. And God showed him things that he had no way of knowing, but were things that had happened in his family's life, his mom and dad especially. And here these people are in this church, and the dad's the pastor of the church, but he doesn't even have a clue about God. I don't understand how you can preach and how you can be a pastor in a church and not even know God. I don't understand that. But in that, God took this little boy and was reaching out not only to the little boy, but he was using the little boy. How many people know the Bible says a little child will lead them? And he was reaching out to that church, that community, and those people, including his dad, this little boy's dad and mom, that he was real, that he loved them, that he knew everything that was going on, and that he really was there. And these people were going on doing business, you know, just doing things as normal. And their intellect, all through intellect, not through spiritual things, but through intellectual things. And they no more knew if God was real or not. They were going to church, but there was no power. In other words, they had a form of godliness, but they were denying or not seeing the power that really was there. And God used this little boy. This little boy. You know, these kind of things can bring frustration too. You know, but you know, I felt the heart of God, and God loves us so much. All of us. Make a difference who we are, what we do. God loves us. And he really does have good plans for us, as Pastor Justice said when he quoted Jeremiah 29:11. And if we'll give him a chance, man, he'll do things that will blow our minds. Great and mighty things that we don't even know. In the process of this story, people got upset with the little boy, got upset with the dad, because the dad wanted to believe that his little boy saw what he saw. He's 4 years old. He can't make this stuff up. And he knew things that he would have no other way of knowing unless it was revealed to him by somebody. And mom and dad knew they weren't the ones that revealed it to him. He knew he had a sister that died before she was born. The mom asked him, well, what's her name? And he told her, you guys didn't name her. And that's what finally won the mom over to realize this was not something. God was reaching out. God was reaching out to them. And he cared for them so much. And I know, I felt his heart's grieved. He's done so much, and yet people reject him. They don't give in to who he is. Because it goes against the carnal mind. It goes against the intellect. So what you need to do is just like that little child who believes. It was told to him, he saw it, and he believed. He didn't have to examine it and evaluate it, you know, intellectualize it. He just believed. And in so doing, he touched all of the people in his community. They live in a little town in Nebraska. They'd come to Denver for many things. But here, I just felt the heart of God, and God weeps because here he's given his very best. And there are still people out there in this day and age who refuse to acknowledge him and who don't believe him. And he's heartbroken. And it's the same when we come into situations Pastor Justice talked about. Man, he says, I got it under control, but we're trying to figure it out, like Pastor Justice said. Can anybody identify with that? I can identify with that. You try to figure it out, and you can't figure it out. God's got it all figured out. Amen? If God's for you, who can be against you? So, anyway, I just appreciate so much the message, and I appreciate the candor, the honesty. And just to let you know, Pastor Justice, I've been there and I've done that. You're not alone. And we're still going on. Amen? We're still strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen? Hallelujah. And he's going to see us through because he's already worked it out. And besides that, I read the end of the book and we win. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You are such a blessing to us. Thank you so much for being here. I wish we had time to just spend a day with you, you know. And anyway, if you've been ministered to this morning, let me rephrase that. You've been ministered to this morning. Let's take an opportunity now to bless in the best way we can. Do your very best. Do what God tells you. Be obedient. And bless Pastor Justice and Margaret. Guys, if you'll get ready, we're going to take a love offering for them. I think the last time they were here, a miracle happened, and the best blessing we've ever given anybody was given last time we were here. They were here. And anyway, just do what God tells you. Whatever you can do, whatever God tells you, be obedient. Amen? Father, we just thank you again for these people, these blessings, these family members, Lord, that have come from Bungoma. Father, we ask that you'd bless them once more, Lord, and bless them again through our love offering, Lord. Speak to your people, Lord. Let us do the best we can do for your honor and your glory in Jesus' name to further their ministry and to bless them in their ministry and their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you again for this ministry gift that you've sent us. Lord, we received it and we were blessed. Now, Lord, let those words not just become words that pass through us, but let them be sealed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let them come into fruition, Lord. And Lord, we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name for meeting with us today. Now we bless the fellowship. We sanctify the fellowship and the food, Lord. We bless those that are here, Lord, and bless those that are not here. We pray for them. In Jesus' name now, Lord, as we go our ways, we thank you that you're with us, that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, and that you are the one who has everything, everything under control. And we praise you and thank you for that. We place you at the highest place, give you honor and glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen.